God has for us this morning. There's always something, always nuggets in God's Word. There's always something that is so precious that we can pull out. And yes, we have this massive gold stone in the Bible, and we can get something out of every single part of it. But there are certain times when things will jump out at us. They speak to us a little deeper at times. And I believe that God just made it that way so His life, His Word would be eternal. It would be this lifelong thing that no matter where we're at, whether it be 6,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago or today, that it's still able to be alive to us. And so let's press into it this morning and see what God has for us. Let's start by praying. Father God, we are lifting up You. We're exalting the name of Jesus. We're lifting up the Son of God, Your Son, Lord, that He may be exalted, worshipped, adored, submitted to, allowed to have His way in our life, Lord, and that we just yield to You, Father, every area of our life. And Father, I pray that as we press into Your Word this morning, that we will see those nuggets. We will have things that come alive to each one of us, Father, individually and corporately, as we move forward into the new things that You're doing through the Oasis and through the body of Christ here in Rollins. Lord, that we will all be prompted and to draw from Your Word these things that will help us in this endeavor, Lord. We love You. We thank You for leading us, showing us Yourself, manifesting Your glory. We thank You especially for Jesus and Your Holy Spirit to empower us, Lord. We praise Your name. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen. So I was praying one day, the last couple weeks here, about what to share on this particular Sunday. Okay, we're coming up, and hopefully next Sunday we'll be able to meet together, and if not, God's still got something in mind. But for this last Sunday, hopefully, that we had to do this video church about what to share. Okay, and I had some ideas that were kind of rolling around in my head, some things that I was kind of thinking, well, maybe it could go this route, or maybe it'll go that route, but nothing had really stood out to me. Nothing really had that aha moment, like, oh, that's it, that's what God wanted. I knew I had made my request known unto God. I had asked Him to reveal something to me, to show me what to share on this week, so I kept my spiritual ears open. I maintained a sensitivity to the Word of God. If you're asking of God for something, He's often going to show you something in His Word. He's going to quicken it, make it alive. And so I tried to stay sensitive to the Word of God and what He was saying through that. I paid attention to the conversations that I was having with people, whether it be phone calls or texts or just Facebook things, all kinds of circumstances, things that were going on around me. But mostly I just listened for His voice in my heart, something that would speak that's it. I knew that something was going to be quickened in my spirit, and late one evening, it all came together. It was a Wednesday night, and we had set up, if you don't know, on Wednesday nights, sometimes they're various on where we record the Wednesday night Bible studies, but at this particular Wednesday, we had set up a card table, and Margie does this nice tablecloth and all this nice stuff for me. She's a wonderful, wonderful servant in that way. In a lot of other ways. But she had set up this stuff, and we had set it up and got everything plugged in, had the computer out there, and did all these things for a Wednesday night service. We're going to live stream our Wednesday night Bible study. And after the message, we were all still kind of sitting there, gathered together in a room as a family. And just in part of the conversation, it was discovered that someone had missed the mark. Okay, someone had messed up. Okay, in the not too recent past. And it was quite obvious to everyone in the room when it came up in conversation that, oh, that's wrong, you know, should have never done that kind of thing. Well, it was nothing that was tragic or, you know, life-threatening. It's just one of those things that, you know, it created one of those you know better than that moments. Okay, and if you're a parent or been a parent or you've been a kid maybe, you've heard that statement. You knew better than that. Okay, it's one of those things that it was pretty obvious that it shouldn't have been done. Well, by the time that I had heard about it, it was something that had already been addressed. Forgiveness had already been asked for. And repentance was already taking place. And undoubtedly, what had happened would never happen again. It was something that I already knew instantly. As soon as I heard the discussion going on, I thought, oh, it'll never happen again. You know, it's already been taken care of. But as soon as it was brought up in the room, I noticed that the people that had just found out about it, like me, and some of the others in the room hadn't heard the discussion yet, but all of a sudden we all did, we were inclined to do what every human being is inclined to do. We wanted to verbally pounce on that person and make them feel bad for it all over again. If you've ever been in discussions, we call them heated discussions, not arguments at our house, but if you've ever had those kind of heated discussions, you probably know what I mean by that. It was something that, you know, we wanted to make sure that they felt bad so that, you know, they would feel bad for it all over again and make sure that they truly understood that what they did was wrong. Okay, we wanted them to make sure that and hear them say with their own ear that they were sorry and to see their repentance taking place with their own eyes. Okay, that's a human tendency. It's something that is in there that people want to see that justice or see that repentance taking place. The one word that I haven't used yet in describing this is the one thing that we wanted that person to feel. And that was guilty. Guilt is something that has been ingrained into our human society for thousands of years. We've been taught that when somebody does something that is wrong, that they are then guilty and should be punished for that. We have been around many, many years, many situations, we have seen that come to pass. And as I sat in the living room that night and I watched this scene sort of unfold, and I felt my own compulsion to want to jump in on the condemnation, that's when the title for this message rose up in my heart. Complete forgiveness. Complete forgiveness. If what we experienced that night as a strong Christian family, as a grace-preaching pastor's family, if that night was any indication of what goes on in Christian homes around the world, then the message of God's grace and His complete forgiveness stood out as something that needs to continually be preached and taught and retaught. Because I don't want to jump into it too much and get too far off of this, but you know, I love grace. You guys know that, and I share and I teach about what Jesus has done. Our focus is on Him. It's not about, you know, our own efforts and our own works. And yet, even in our home, we still have to guard against that, wanting to heap guilt on one another. Okay, I'm not saying we do it a lot or it's a big issue, but I'm saying that that tendency is still there, and I'm sure that it's there in most families. Most people probably struggle that if somebody offends you, you want to see them retaliated against, or you want to see something happen in their life. Okay, if you ever want to see something bad happen in somebody's life because of the way they treated you, yeah, you're still in that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of mentality, and you're not really truly walking in the grace. Well, this revelation came to me that we need more understanding of the complete forgiveness, the grace that came through Jesus. And so I went to bed that night and kind of mulling over a few things. And the next morning, when I got up, there was a song in my heart that I kept singing and started singing and humming it kind of as I got ready for the day. And it seemed to point to the key for understanding complete and total forgiveness. Okay, it was an old hymn, and most of you have probably heard it before. It was written by a guy named Robert Lowry in 1876. And it's called "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." And if you remember that, how that song goes, and of course I'm a drummer, but it does start out, it kind of, you know, the beginning of the song is, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." The blood of Jesus is the key to understanding forgiveness. It's the key to, and I'm going to show you again from the Old Testament to the New Testament what Jesus did for us by shedding His blood. Right away when that song was playing in my heart, these scriptures started coming out and rising up. If you've read the Word a lot or listened to it, you'll get things that will rise up and you'll have a scripture that comes to mind. And these are a couple of them that popped up for me is in Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3-7. Okay, not the whole thing didn't come up, but you'll see the part that popped up in my mind. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us before Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame." Think of that. Holy and without blame before Him in love. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And it is in Him that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." It was part of the grace that Jesus gave us where that forgiveness comes in. The most important critical part to understanding forgiveness is to understand we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Another scripture came to mind in Colossians chapter 1. Verses 12, 13, and 14 in Colossians. He said, "We're giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." It's all about the blood. There's a song like that too, I think. It's all about the blood. See, from the very beginning of mankind upon the face of the earth, God has established some things that are musts, things that have to be in place. One of those is a requirement of obedience to Him and His ways. That is, God desires, needs, wants, requires your obedience to Him, okay, and His ways. And one of the elements, one of the main factors of that obedience is often demonstrated in the way that we treat other people. Okay, the way that we treat other people demonstrates whether or not we get it, whether we understand it, whether we know and understand God's grace. Forgiveness is about a freedom. It's about a freedom from retaliation. It's about a freedom from guilt. It's about freedom from condemnation, okay, being beat down. There is a freedom when in forgiveness. Sometimes it's been said that when you forgive, you're not so much setting that other person free as you are setting yourself free, okay, releasing yourself from the bondage of unforgiveness, of condemnation. You know, I read several stories on forgiveness as I was preparing this message, and each and every one of them, it was very profound to me, the impact on the forgiver and the forgiven by what happened in those stories. One of them was about a child that when he was 11 years old, he saw his mother, who was a street vendor in Colombia, he saw his mother shot 38 times and killed. His life fell apart. He spent several years using drugs and alcohol, trying to cope with what he had seen and gone through, until at one point he determined in his heart that he was going to seek vengeance on his mother's attacker, who was still on the street. He planned to track that man down and kill him. But before he could do it, one of his friends shared Jesus Christ with him, invited him to go to church, to meet his pastor, to become a believer. He went to church with his friend. He accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and his entire perspective on life changed. Instead of seeking to kill the man, he continued to seek him, but he sought to find him, to embrace him, and tell him that he forgave him for what he had done. And one day, he got his chance. Out on the street, he sees the man that had shot his mom 38 times, and he literally ran to the man, told him that he forgave him, and gave him a hug, embraced him. Both of their lives were changed from that moment radically because of that experience of forgiveness. See, forgiveness is not only something that is necessary. It's the basis of the gospel, right? If we're not forgiven of our sins, we're not going to be with God. God can't be where sin is. We've got to be washed clean. So forgiveness is not only necessary, but it's an extremely important and powerful part of our Christian existence. Very early on in the dawn of the human race, God established one single way for the sins against people, which translates to sins against God himself. He only had one way for those sins to be atoned for, to be forgiven. Under the old covenant, that way was through the shedding of the blood of a perfect, unblemished sacrifice. They would bring the people would bring the sacrifice unto the elders, and the high priest would then lay their hands upon the head of that animal and transfer the guilt of the people that brought it to him onto that animal, onto the sacrifice, and then they would kill it before the Lord, shedding its blood, which was then gathered and sprinkled upon the altar, which was in front of the veil, which is what separated the people from God. It was a process God had ordained. God had set up, saying, this is how your sins will be atoned for. I want to read some of that to you out of the book of Leviticus, chapter 4. Leviticus 4:13 is where we start. He says, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing is hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning the things which should not be done, and are guilty, when they sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and shall bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord. And the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all of his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and their sin shall be forgiven them. We now know under the new covenant that Jesus Christ was that perfect, unblemished sacrifice brought unto God, whose blood was shed in front of God, poured out as an offering unto God. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He was that sacrifice. Revelation 1, verse 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and that washed us from our sins in his own blood." See, the necessary sacrifice to ensure your total forgiveness, your complete forgiveness, has been killed. And having his blood then shed for your sins against God and man, he has washed you clean so that you can stand holy before God. Now I'm saying total forgiveness because sometimes people forget that their sins of the past, present, and future have all been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Sometimes it's easier to think of just our past sins being forgiven. You know, many of us committed a lot of sins before we came to know Jesus. And so we think, you know, we committed them in ignorance, not knowing the ways of God, not knowing them because we were an unbeliever. How could we know the ways of God? But some Christians struggle to believe that their present sins, their current things going on, and especially their future sins, are forgiven. Believers often consider their current sins, their present sins, to be more on a case-by-case basis. Okay? It wasn't that bad. Okay? Or maybe that was a bad one. Okay? Most of the time, for a Christian, if you've got the Word of God in you at all, the more you read the Word, the more it's going to be revealed. You'll see the way that God wants you to live. Certain sins you are going to instantly know that they were wrong. You just know that it was against God. You know you shouldn't have done that. And you know that if you know that it was wrong, then you figure that God knows that it was wrong and that he's condemning you for it. Okay, that's this little process. We don't always think it out, but a lot of times that's what happens in our head. That's your conscience at work. God gave you a conscience to help you to understand, to know, to give you the ability to know good from evil and right from wrong. God wanted you to be able to know that. But sometimes Christians forget that the blood of Jesus was shed to wash you completely clean. Okay? His love was expressed towards you through sending Jesus, covering the multitude of sins. Remember that scripture? Love covers the multitude of sins. Okay, that's the entire package. It's part of the grace that came through Jesus was that you were forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says this. Hebrews 9:14. He said, "How much more?" He's talking about the blood of bulls and goats, if you read before this in Hebrews chapter 9. He's talking about how that was the way they did their sacrifices. And then he says, "But how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works so that you can now serve the living God?" Okay, it's about purging your conscience. Remember I said that the first thing that we want to do when somebody trips up, messes up, whatever, we want to condemn them. That's part of your own conscience that's bringing that out. Yeah, you know that they did something wrong, they need to be punished for it. It was bad, it was evil, it was wrong. Okay, our own conscience is what reveals some of that to us. And from that, if we let our flesh take the lead, we will condemn and criticize and put down and judge. The scripture we just read in Hebrews 9:14 says that Jesus Christ has purged your conscience. He has purged it. He has cleansed it, cleaned it, purified your conscience so that you no longer have to live your life with your head hanging down. So that your first response when you see wrong is not to condemn and to criticize. Now, let me just throw this in. This is going to make sermon longer, but I think you need to know. There are times to preach on sin. I had a pastor one time that was basically preaching against grace preachers because he was saying that you're just telling, you know, sinners that it's okay to be a sinner. And my response is no, I am telling saints that it's not okay to be a sinner. I am telling saints that it's okay to live the way that God made you now. I'm telling saints that it's okay to live the new life that Jesus Christ has given you. Okay, I'm not preaching to sinners for the most part. If you're an evangelist, you're going to go preaching people where they're lost and they need to come to know Jesus. You preach the law. You preach on sin. You preach and tell them they're going to go to hell if they don't change their ways. Do it all day long until they come to know Jesus. Then you can change to telling them about the grace and the love and the forgiveness and the grace, the powerful grace of Jesus Christ and what He did for them. Okay, and that's what you're getting this morning. God has purchased, purged, cleansed, cleaned, and purified your conscience so that you no longer have to live a life of shame and guilt and condemnation. You no longer have to be prompted by your flesh to pour that out onto other people either. A believer who understands the complete forgiveness that was provided through the blood of Jesus Christ does not willingly or willfully sin. We just don't. I've noticed something about myself, and this, I believe, applies to others as well, that if I'm going out to the shop to work on something, we live out on the farm and the ranch, and if I'm going out to work on the tractor, I need to change the oil or change a wheel bearing in a van or, you know, work on cars, or lately I've had this project of this old motorcycle that somebody gave to me and I'm trying to get it running. And so if I know that I'm going to go out and work in the shop, if I'm all cleaned up, I got my best jeans on. I don't know about you guys, I have work jeans and I have good jeans. Okay, I have work boots and I have good boots, town boots, you know, I call them. Okay, there's things that if I'm going to go out and shovel manure, or I'm going to go out and work in the shop, I'm going to go out and chainsawing, cutting wood, firewood, especially stinky stuff. Margie won't even sometimes want to let me back in the house, okay, if I've been doing some of these things. Well, if I'm all cleaned up and ready to go to town, and I know that even later that day I might have something else that I'm going to need to be cleaned up for, like going into the house and having supper with my family, or maybe it's going to church, or, you know, we got something else going on, I am a lot less likely to want to go and get dirty. I'm already cleaned up. I don't want to go and get my hands and dirty. That motorcycle, it's got carburetor issues and stuff, so I've been working with the gas. Okay, you ever drain a gas tank and carburetors and play around with that? You get so stinky and smelly that your wife won't let you back in the house. Okay, you have to take your clothes off in the basement. Okay, if you know what I'm talking about. If I need to go somewhere, if I need to go to an appointment, I need to go to church, I do not want to get that dirty right before I go. In other words, you could say, I'm clean and I want to stay clean. Right? You ever notice that? When you first get started, even for me, even if I'm going out and I'm in my work clothes, I could go out in that shop. And that first time of, you know, you're going to reach in and get really greasy. Okay? The first time that you do that, your hands are clean. I don't like getting dirty like that. Okay? I don't. And I don't think most people do. I don't people I could go on and on. Think of it yourself. If it's your anniversary with your wife, or maybe you're single, maybe it's a hot date you got, right? And you get all dressed up. You put on your best clothes, your best jeans, your best dress, fix your hair, you put on a little cologne if you do that, or, you know, a little perfume, you get all dudded up. And then you realize that you got 30 minutes before it's time for dinner, before you need to go meet this person. Are you going to go out into the garden in the heat of the day and get all sweaty and dirty? No. You're not. You're all cleaned up. You don't want to go and to get dirty when you know that you've got something that you need to be clean for, that you want to be clean for. Now, I'm reminding you of this because I want to show you how God has cleansed you of all sin. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He is the one that made you holy and blameless. We read that scripture. That is who God made you to be by your faith when you first trusted in Jesus Christ. I believe that by showing you this, that you will see that God's word is pretty clear, that once you understand how clean you are right now, that you will not be inclined to go and get dirty again. People say, how can you preach grace all the time? And I say, look at my life. You know, they say, oh, if you preach grace all the time, people are just going to go into sin all the time. I say, look at my life. I'm the guy preaching grace. Not perfect in every way, but I'm not out trying to sin. I'm not going in that direction. I don't have any desire to do that because of what God has done to get me to this point. I'm not going to throw that away and go and get all dirty again. I don't want to do that, and I don't think other people will either. You know, when Jesus Christ, I need to finish this up, but when Jesus was on the earth, he was fulfilling his earthly ministry, and he made it known that his role, one of them in the kingdom of God, included ensuring the forgiveness of sins. I said earlier that there are things in the Bible that sometimes it just stands out at you, that God will give you that nugget. You're about to get one of mine that I got in the last 2 weeks. While Jesus was doing this, he made it known. He lived this role, his life on earth, making sure that people knew that the forgiveness of sins and healing were part of the grace that he was bringing. In Matthew chapter 9, we read a story of a man that was sick of the palsy. His friends brought him unto Jesus so that he could be healed. And remember that? There's different descriptions of it in the Bible. But in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, it says that, behold, they brought to Jesus a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now when Jesus said this, it stirred up the scribes, Pharisees, the keepers of the law, those legalists, because it was widely known that only God had the power to forgive sins. But Jesus knew the plan of God was that his blood was going to be shed for the forgiveness of sins, and that complete forgiveness included complete healing as well. Therefore, he could tell the man, thy sins be forgiven, because that was part of the package that Jesus was giving him. It all came with grace. The next verse in Matthew chapter 9, verse 3 says, behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and go unto thine house. And you know the story, the man did. He was healed instantly. See, they already knew, the religious already knew that Jesus had the power to heal because they had seen it, they had heard the stories. But now Jesus was demonstrating for them that the forgiveness of sins and healing of the body are all part of that same grace package. See, there's another passage in the Bible where it describes the disciples are walking along with Jesus and they see a man that is blind, a man that had been blind from his birth. And the disciples are convinced that it is because of some sin that has been committed, either by the man himself or by his parents, that maybe they were even ignorant of. Maybe they didn't even know what they had done. And they figured that it had not been repented of, and that's why the man had remained blind. So the disciples asked Jesus in John chapter 9. They said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that made him so he was born blind? Jesus' answer was to not focus on the sin, but to focus on the healing that was about to take place through him. See, the forgiveness of sins includes healing from all sickness and all disease. The Bible says, by his stripes ye were healed. By the stripes of Jesus, when he was beaten and his blood started pouring out, the shedding of his blood led to you being healed. Now I know people will say, well, that word healed in that text in Isaiah actually means delivered. And I say, yes, it does. It means you're delivered from sin. You're delivered from sickness and disease. You're delivered from poverty. You're delivered. You're healed. That's what Jesus took those stripes so that he could give this to you and I. Just like the man of the palsy was healed when his sins were forgiven, the blind man was healed and his sins were forgiven by the Christ as well. See, the complete forgiveness package included setting us free from sickness, from disease, from poverty, and from sin. You are forgiven of all sin, past, present, and future, ones known and confessed, and ones committed unknowingly or in ignorance, so that you could receive all the benefits of God's grace through Jesus. See, what I didn't point out earlier about the passage we read in Leviticus, about how the people would bring their sacrifice to the high priest so they could be forgiven. What I didn't point out is that in most Bibles, if you read the heading of that passage, it'll say, the sin offering for ignorance. It was a sacrifice for the sins of the people that were not quite so obvious. Remember I said in your current sins, a lot of them you see and you're like, oh yeah, I shouldn't have done that. God saw that one. I'm talking about the ones that you don't have that revelation for. You want to get to that point. I want to confess every sin. I want to know what it is that is God's ways and what's not. I read God's word. He shows me. He quickens it in my spirit so that I know when I'm stepping out of line. But there are times that I'm sure I've missed it. I was too busy. Sin of busyness. Doing something else and didn't notice, didn't pay attention. I just screamed at the dog or, you know, snapped at somebody or did this or that. I'm talking about those kind of sins that are done a little more in ignorance. See, the sins of the people that were not quite so obvious, that is for the sin of being angry with your brother or your sister. It's for the lustful look of adultery. It's for the paperclip from work that ended up in your home office. It was for the fib you told to avoid embarrassment. It's for all the sins that you committed against God and man that maybe you weren't even aware of. That is complete forgiveness. The more you understand God's grace, the more you understand His goodness, His kindness, His forgiveness, the less likely you're going to be to stray away from His ways. You'll know that you're clean and you'll want to stay clean. The Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. Guilt does not get the job done. Being found guilty, being made to feel guilty, or condemning someone else, making them feel guilty for what they've done, is not going to accomplish the change in behavior that you're seeking. That's so often why people do that. They want to pound somebody down so they'll change the way they did it. I'm going to make you so miserable, hate that so much that you'll never do it again. That's what we think. And it doesn't work that way. You've tried it. I've tried it. It doesn't work. It doesn't change the behavior. Guilt doesn't get it done. Love is what conquers all. The Bible tells us where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God established a new and better covenant with us that says that He sent Jesus Christ. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent Jesus as that once and for all sacrifice for the atonement of our sins. In His blood is the redemption of sins. It is the buying us back. It cleansed us. Bringing things up or beating yourself up over it, beating someone else down because of a sin that they've already been forgiven for, is not necessary. God says that because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, your sins and iniquities will He remember no more. So live life like you're completely forgiven. Live life in a way that allows you to treat others like they are completely forgiven. And I believe you'll find yourself living in a freedom, living in a grace life, where you're able to live the life that God called you to without guilt, without condemnation, without straying from God's ways, without missing the mark as often, that God will lead you in that right direction when you understand total and complete forgiveness. Hallelujah. Father God, we're praising you this morning. Thank you again. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord, that you have put a package together for us. You put grace together. Supernatural grace. Touching lives, changing us from the inside out, causing hearts to be softened towards you, causing a love to abound and conquer sin. Thank you for doing that for us, Lord. We praise you for it this morning. We thank you for the plan. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for doing what you did through him. Thank you for making us right. Thank you for cleansing us. Jesus, thank you for allowing yourself to go through what you went through on our behalf, to bear the punishment of many for the forgiveness of sins. Father, we praise you this morning, giving you glory, shouting out to you, Lord, God Almighty, Creator, hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. We give you the worship this morning. We exalt you for what you've done, exalt you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness of sin, Lord. Thank you for washing us clean that we may be right with you. Thank you for putting us in right standing with you. Thank you for making us righteous, making us right with you, making us holy and blameless in your sight. That was your plan, Lord, and we have bought in. Father, we take it, receive it, acknowledge it. We love it. We love you. We praise you and thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that we all said, Amen.